When I started this book, I was on maternity leave with my second son. The freedom of being home all day, every day, and the disorientation of an on-demand breastfeeding schedule oddly suited my writing. It meant that I was awake and journaling during those quiet moments in the night when everyone else was sleeping. I liked the solitude that came with being housebound for large chunks of time with a newborn. After years spent hopped up on adrenaline, it felt good to be off the work treadmill for a moment and to have an opportunity to reassess my life and recalibrate. Not to mention, I appreciated having a break to just focus on my family and my writing, uninterrupted by morning commutes, extended work travel, and deadlines. But now, as I complete the book with this introduction more than a year later, I'm housebound for a different reason. We're more than 4 months into a global pandemic, as the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, steamrolls its way through the world, and 8 weeks into a nationwide lockdown. The experience of working from home all day, while in a government-enforced quarantine, feels much less like a freedom, though it is most certainly a privilege. Small acts we once took for granted, like shaking a stranger's hand, hugging a friend, visiting loved ones, or having dinner in a crowded restaurant, are not possible for the foreseeable. Now, we walk down the street wearing face masks, paranoid about who might have coughed just steps before. And we scrub and disinfect our groceries, purchased in a whirlwind of panic after waiting in socially distanced queues that stretch for blocks outside stores, with a rigor that just months ago would have been declared a symptom of obsessive-compulsive disorder. The basics, our health, the food on our tables, a walk outdoors, a deep inhale of fresh air, now feel like life's ultimate luxuries. But luxury's meaning changes with context, and the pandemic has made the divisions that separate race and class painfully clear. When the virus hit, a popular line began circulating that 2020 was the end of identity politics, that COVID-19 was the great equalizer that didn't see race or class. People of color knew better. And the opposite turned out to be true as the news was confirmed. Black, Muslim, Latin, and Asian communities were the hardest hit. And women, who make up the vast majority of essential workers, were shouldering the brunt of the load. The virus wasn't wiping the slate clean. It was deepening pre-existing inequalities. I've watched close friends lose their loved ones, jobs, and mental health to COVID-19. I've also watched dear friends, forced to reimagine their lives in the face of disruption, begin exciting new jobs, launch innovative new projects, and enter new romantic relationships. Throughout it all, I saw my friends and family more than we had in years, checking in on each other throughout the week on Zoom, FaceTime, and house party to make sure we were holding up okay in isolation as sickness, death, and a crippled economy inched closer. And just when it seemed like the news cycle and our collective angst couldn't get worse, we found joy, laughter, and solidarity in the most unexpected places. At an enormous spontaneous Instagram live party put on by the American DJ D-Nice, I bumped into old friends I hadn't seen in years, old media colleagues, music industry mates, and nightclubbing buddies, and the imaginary ones I had only ever followed from a distance, Michelle Obama, Janet Jackson, Rihanna, and Tracy Ellis Ross, to name a few. Each one of our circumstances were uniquely different, and yet we were all there, 100,000 of us united in isolation and our need for human connection. Weeks later, over 700,000 of us tuned in to a live stream music battle turned mutual appreciation session between two women responsible for soundtracking multiple generations of Black lives, Erykah Badu and Jill Scott, and then bonded for the next 24 hours over the endless stream of feel-good memes the evening produced. It was a night of sisterhood and healing, a celebration of us and all of our nuances. Most of the time, I like to be a lady. Sometimes, I'm not. I'm a lot of things. Aren't we a lot of things? Jill Scott said. We were all alone, together.